tells about being in Hawaii a number of years ago at a conference, and the conference has gone, you know, for its full evening session. It's late, and then he goes out with some people, and they talk and talk, and finally, he's just got to get some rest and go back and get ready for the next day. So in the wee hours of the morning, a little after 3 o'clock in the morning, he's now walking back toward his hotel, sees it in the distance, but he's hungry, and he looks around to see if there's a place where he can get a quick bite to eat, thinks he'll sleep better with a little something in his stomach. And he ducks into a place that he said, if one ever deserved the epithet, the greasy spoon, I just found it. But he goes inside and orders something that he considers safe, donut and coffee. He's going to get it down pretty quickly. Nobody in there at that hour. So he's woofing it down, almost finished, and the door bursts open, and in come 8 or 9 of the most outlandishly dressed, loud, boisterous ladies of the evening. And they enter the diner and they plop down in different places. He's seated at a counter. Remember the old kind of counter with the stools? Well, he's at the counter. A couple of them sit to his left, 2 or 3 to the right. The rest of them at a little table behind. And they come in. Several of them are smoking. The air begins to get thick with cigarettes. And now they're not only loud and boisterous, but they're increasingly crude and their language is pretty off color. He says, I know it's time for me to finish. I'm getting the last bite of the donut in my mouth. Going to pay my check. Get out of there. And the woman seated at his immediate left says out loud to nobody in particular, tomorrow's going to be my birthday. I'll be 39 years old. And another one of the gaggle of prostitutes that has come in says back to her in a contemptuous, just mean tone, Campolo says, so, big deal. Tomorrow's your birthday. What do you want me to do about it? You want me to throw you a party, fix you a cake, light some candles, and sing happy birthday to you? Campolo says the woman who started this by just saying to nobody in particular, tomorrow's my birthday, answered in a tone not mean and combative, but obviously hurt. And she said, leaning across now and looking past Campolo at her, said, I wasn't asking you for anything. All I said was, tomorrow's my birthday. Do I expect a party? Of course, I've never had a birthday party in my life. If any of you know Campolo, you're not going to be surprised at what happens. At that point, he slowed down drinking his coffee, and he stayed for about 20 minutes till all these women had gotten their snack or whatever they were there to get a drink or whatever. And they all exited. Well, he's still there. And he says to the guy who's behind the counter wiping up now and picking up the dishes, he said, these women come in here every morning. Guy says, you can set your clock by it. They're in here every morning. They take a break. They get a snack, and then they hit streets again to pick up more Johns. Campolo said, well, I sort of thought they were regulars by the way the routine went. Said, the woman who was seated to my left, well, that was Agnes, the guy says. He obviously knew them all by name. Yeah, Agnes. I heard her say that she's going to be 39 years old tomorrow. It's her birthday, and that she's never had a birthday party. Everybody ought to have a birthday party sometime in their life. And I was just thinking, and if I were to come back here tomorrow, if I could find some decorations, some crepe paper, and a birthday cake, and some candles, would it be okay if I hosted a birthday party for Agnes? Guy stuck his head through the window into the back, said, honey, come out here. Turns out his wife's doing the cooking in the back. And she comes out wiping her hands. And he says, honey, this guy heard Agnes say tomorrow's her birthday, and he wanted to know about having a birthday party and going, and they talked about it, and she said, oh, I think that's a great idea. I don't think Agnes has had very many nice things done for her in her life ever. So they talked a few more minutes, and they worked out the plan that Campolo would be back between 2:30 and 3 the next morning so they could set up. He'd bring whatever decorations he could, fix the place. And the only caveat to his original plan was, the woman said, you can do it if you let me bake the cake. So sure enough, next morning about 2:30 or so, Campolo gets back. He's found some crepe paper streamers and couldn't find anything to letter with, but he just got a piece of poster board from the conference center and hand wrote, Happy Birthday, Agnes. And then by 3 o'clock, the little diner was wall to wall, male and female prostitutes, because the lady in the back who was the cook had put the word out on the streets that day, we're having a surprise birthday party for Agnes. Almost on the dot at 3:30, the door came open again, and here comes the same group of women, loud, outrageously dressed. They begin singing. Happy birthday to you. When they said, Happy birthday, dear Agnes, Agnes' jaw dropped, and one of the women standing beside her had to grab her arm. Her knees wobbled, Campolo said. And by the time they finished the song, tears were coming down her cheeks. And out from the back then, as the song finishes, comes the cake, and they put it down on the counter. And she just is sobbing. They finish the singing. The candles are still burning and folks are saying, Agnes, cut the cake. Let's eat the cake, Agnes. Cut it now. Agnes leans across the counter and asks the guy, Harry, who owns the diner, Harry, would it be okay? I mean, I'm not trying to be selfish, but I've never had a birthday. Would it be, do I have to cut the cake? Well, Harry's just wondering, could I keep the cake? Harry cuts through the stuttering and says, Agnes, that's your cake. You can do anything you want to with it. You can cut it and share it. You can take it home, freeze it. I mean, it's your cake. Well, she looks at Campolo. He's obviously not one of the regular crowds. She just figures out he's got something to do with it. Said, is it okay if I keep the cake? I just live a couple of doors down. And he repeated what Harry had said. Agnes, this is your cake. You do with it what you want to. Campolo's picking up of the story at that point. She got off the stool and picked up the cake and carrying it like it was the Holy Grail, she walked slowly toward the door, and we all just stood there motionless while she left. And when the door closed, there's a stunned silence in the place. Not knowing what else to do, I broke the silence by saying, what do you say we pray? Looking back on it now, it seems more than strange for a sociologist to be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But then it just felt like the right thing to do. So I prayed for Agnes. I prayed for her salvation. I prayed that her life would be changed and that God would be good to her. And when I finished, Harry leaned over the counter and with a trace of hostility in his voice said, hey, you never told me you was no preacher. What kind of church do you belong to? In one of those moments when just the right words came, I answered, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for whores at 3:30 in the morning. Harry waited a moment and then almost sneered as he answered, no, you don't. There's no church like that. If there was, I'd join it. I'd join a church like that. People, the gospel of Jesus Christ affirms, defends, and enhances human dignity. And more than we need to be concerned that our churches are big, we need to be concerned that our churches pay attention to people that nobody else pays attention to, because that's what Jesus focused on.